This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, July 17th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Another water bill gets washed out. GPS avoids cuts to demand. USDA to get new deputy and foreign land ownership bill reintroduced. A bill to limit well drilling done for the year. Assemblymember Steve Bennett has pulled back on his second attempt to add more regulatory review for drilling or modifying groundwater wells. AB 1563 would require counties to assess potential well impacts and for local groundwater sustainability agencies to review permits before approval. Governor Newsom seized on the concept last year at the peak of the drought, issuing an executive order based on Bennett's initial bill. But a committee later handicapped that measure with amendments, and Bennett shelved it. This year, he narrowed the focus to critically overdrafted basins and successfully advanced it through several hearings. Republicans, a few moderate Democrats, and a broad coalition of agriculture and irrigation groups opposed it. Bennett vowed to return to the measure in January after the Department of Water Resources potentially releases a new report examining the impacts of drilling on nearby wells. A supply and demand imbalance in SGMA plans. When it comes to supply and demand, many groundwater sustainability agencies are tilting heavily to one side of the equation, that according to UC Berkeley ag economists. The researchers analyzed 116 local plans and submitted to the state under the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Nearly 20% of the GSPs contain no mention of demand management and instead depend, quote, almost exclusively on growing their water supplies. Many others propose strategies with, quote, unnecessarily high costs. The authors of the new scientific paper suggest local agencies incorporate incentive-based strategies like pricing and trading, which offer lower costs to farmers. They also urge the agencies to, quote, keep tabs on the performance of their neighbors to identify best practices. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. In D.C., USDA's new number two takes office. Lawmakers seek SAF debate. Salchil Torres Small will be sworn in today at USDA as Deputy Agriculture Secretary. She is a former congresswoman and the granddaughter of Mexican immigrants who were farm workers. Her predecessor, Jill Bronow, left the department March 3rd. Bronow was the first black woman to hold the number two post, USDA. On Capitol Hill this week, the House will be debating a Federal Aviation Administration authorization bill, and there could be some votes on the future of sustainable aviation fuel. Democrats have proposed amendments to the bill to expand support for SAF and related infrastructure. Meanwhile, Representative Randy Feenstra of Iowa, leading a group of Republicans who want to create a working group at the FAA to coordinate research and development of SAF. From the right, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, wants to force a vote on eliminating SAF tax incentives, including the clean fuel tax credit that was created by the Inflation Reduction Act that to subsidize low-carbon biofuels. The House Rules Committee meets today and will decide which amendments will be debated when the FAA bill is on the floor. For more on this week's D.C. agenda, you can read our Washington Week Ahead. Senators reintroduce foreign land bill. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow has joined with Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Tester of Montana, and Joni Ernst of Iowa to reintroduce a bill to make the Agriculture and Health and Human Services Secretaries permanent members of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. The bill, first proposed in 2017 and reintroduced last year, also would add additional agriculture and food security considerations to CFIS review criteria. Now take note, Stabenow and Ernst introduced a separate bill last month, also proposed adding both secretaries to CFIS, but that bill also called for CFIS reviews of foreign land purchases exceeding $4 million or 320 acres of land. Legislation would add women farmers liaison at USDA. Four House members are aiming to add a women farmers and ranchers liaison position at the Agriculture Department, require the agency to prioritize research on farm equipment designed for women, and create a funding set aside for child care facilities in rural areas. Representatives Shelley Pingree of Maine, Teresa Ledger Fernandez of New Mexico, Jen Kiggins of Virginia, along with Jennifer Gonzalez-Colon, a non-voting delegate from Puerto Rico, proposed the measures on Friday in the Women in Agriculture Act. Now, take note, in 2019, GAO report referenced in a press release from Pingree's office said women, quote, comprise a disproportionately small share of agriculture producers relative to their numbers in the general population and often face challenges obtaining agricultural credit. Many farm tools currently on the market are not designed for women, which the press release says, quote, not only disadvantages their work, but also puts them at risk for injury. Orchard workers get $500,000 in back pay. More than 400 orchard workers in Washington have been paid $500,000 in back wages and interest following a state investigation found they didn't receive what they earned for harvesting fruit, the Washington State Department of Labor and Industry said. The owners of the Yakima orchards disputed the state findings, telling the Yakima Herald that the H-2A workers made more money with an, quote, hourly minimum rate than by piece rate. We didn't settle because we were wrong. We settle for monetary reasons, Damon Garcia told the newspaper. If we would have kept going, it could have cost us more than $500,000 to keep fighting it, and who knows how long it was going to drag out. Bill requires more American-made foods in schools. A new bipartisan bicameral bill, the American Food for American Schools Act, would strengthen the Buy American provisions in the current federal law requiring school districts to buy domestically sourced products for all in-school meals. The bill would also require schools to obtain a waiver from USDA to purchase foreign-sourced foods only if domestic products are unavailable or cost-prohibitive. The bill was introduced by Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Mike Braun of Indiana, and in the House by California Representatives Doug LaMalfa and John Garamendi. This bill is endorsed by the American Farm Bureau Federation, American Fruit and Vegetable Processors and Growers Coalition, Indiana Farm Bureau, International Brotherhood of Teamsters, National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, and the North American Blueberry Council. Lawmakers seek American flower power. Several House lawmakers in the Cut Flower Caucus on Capitol Hill are lauding their success in adding a floral arrangement amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that was narrowly approved on Friday. The amendment, the Don Young American Grown Act, would require that only flowers grown in the U.S. or U.S. territories be eligible for display in the White House, Defense Department, and State Department. Every day we should be proud to be an American, and I am pleased that our homegrown products will be proudly displayed in federal agency buildings, said LaMalfa, a member of the Cut Flower Caucus. I have said before that food security is national security, and it is imperative that we expand that to include supporting American farmers and the rural economy. Finally, here's today's He Said It. I thought, how cute is this? That photographer Mark Woodward, just before a Santa Cruz sea otter turned into a public safety threat, chasing surfers and even stealing their boards. On Friday, state and federal agencies warned the otter has resisted capture and remains at large. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, July 17th. Brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Elliott.